listeners, this is a slightly different episode of Pondering Purple. I've just released a new video on my website addressed to churches and missions that care for MKs, and I'm posting just the audio of that 20-minute presentation here. For full effect, obviously, I encourage you to actually watch the video with all the graphics and illustrations I've included. I'll link to it in this episode's notes. I actually developed the video to help the Christian world to better understand why missionaries' kids or MKs are different than their parents and how to care for them with informed wisdom. The video's target audience is churches, missions, and anyone who loves missionaries and their children, like friends, relatives, supporters. And my hope is that in these 20 minutes, they will learn something valuable about these fabulous purple people who are so misunderstood, and consequently, for whom we develop often inadequate programs and strategies. If you know people who would benefit from this, particularly mission boards or church missions committees, or even your relatives and friends, don't hesitate to forward it to them. Without further explanation or exhortation, this is How Churches and Missions Can Love MKs Better. Hi, my name is Michelle, and I've worked with missionaries' kids, or MKs, for 32 years, and I'm here today to start a conversation about why it is that MKs need specialized, thoughtful care, different a lot of times than what their parents need. You may have noticed a recent uptick in conversations about MKs and third culture kids, TCKs, in recent years, and you might be wondering why. Why are we suddenly paying more attention to these people groups, and why are we suddenly creating more resources for them? Here's why. Historically, the church has done fairly well at caring for missionaries they send overseas. They've been partners in ministry, they've sent them, they've supported them through prayer and giving, and as resources, they have welcomed them home, and we're getting better at doing that in a thoughtful way as well. And MKs have often been seen as part of a package deal, not individually considered. I'm here to tell you that they ought to be, because MKs are different in crucial ways from their parents, because they need community to celebrate the wonderful of growing up overseas in ministry, and because they might need that same community, your community, to address the hard that also comes along with it. MKs, if you've known any, you'll agree with me, MKs have incredible strengths. Strengths like being catalysts, communicators, global nomads, tolerant, insightful, mature, adaptable, bold, curious, inclusive, observant, adventurous, and problem solvers. They also have unique needs that can be recognized and met by a church that knows what to look for and what to address. But the needs and challenges of MKs have been neglected historically, in great part because our understanding about them has been so limited. So we need to understand MKs better. Why? In order to love them well. And the church can be and must be an integral part of meeting the needs of these children whose lives have been so enhanced by what they've experienced, and in some cases have also been eroded or challenged by growing up in a fishbowl in the high-stress world of ministry. So in the next few minutes, I'd like to delve briefly into some of the main things that you as a church need to know about these young souls who return to your congregations, either temporarily on home ministry assignments or when they return to their passport cultures more long-term for a job or for higher education. I'll outline four major reasons why it's important for the church to develop educated models of care for MKs, and then I'll give you just a few places to start. So, let's dive in. The first thing I want you to know is MKs are different than their parents. So what cares well for the adults in ministry may not be attuned to what their children actually need. How are MKs different from their parents? Let me tell you, there's an illustration that I think was developed by Missionary Training Institute that goes something like this. And it's what I use when I go overseas to speak with children in lower grades in grade school. And I'll find one kid in the class and give him or her a jar. And into that jar, I'll pour some blue beads. And I'll say, this is planet blue. This is where mom and dad came from. They were born into this planet. They grew up in this planet. They have a firm understanding of planet blue. And then into that same jar, I'll pour some red beads. And I'll say, this is planet red. This is the new place that mom and dad moved to as adults. And I'll have the child shake up the jar. And when he or she is done, you'll have a mixture of red and blue beads. They're easily distinguishable from each other. You can sort them. You know what belongs in what pile. An American or Canadian or person from anywhere else in the world who spends all of their formative years in one culture will have a strong and steady sense of who they are. And then when they move overseas, they'll add elements from those other cultures without losing themselves in that bridging of places. For MKs, it's different. I'll give the same child in the room two balls of Play-Doh, and I'll tell him or her to go to town on it, to mix that Play-Doh together. And as you can imagine, when he or she is done doing that, we have this beautiful ball of purple. It is complicated. It is rich. It is beautiful. It is complex. There is so much to this purple, and each shade of purple is going to be specific to the MK who owns it. In other words, MKs who cross cultures during their formative years are going to be impacted at a core level and will not have the clarity of the red bead, blue bead parents that raise them, even though the parents and the churches that send them might think that they do. So, parents and churches that assume that MKs are experiencing life the same way they are probably missing the mark. Churches that design their care around this misunderstanding probably get that wrong too. The kind of care churches offer missionaries must be adjusted to fit the uniqueness of missionaries' kids. We need to have a specific approach just for them. This leads us to point number two. The second motivating factor churches need to know about in developing appropriate care is this. MKs believe they are expected to be perfect. And they think those expectations come from you, from the church, among other places. This is something I call the tyranny of shoulds. These unachievable expectations MKs grow up with, that because they are MKs, they must be exceptional in every way. I was in the state of Georgia about a year and a half ago meeting with adult MKs aged about 18 to 60, and I brought up the tyranny of shoulds. And in about 10 minutes, they filled up two whiteboards with all of the shoulds they still feel as adults navigating this world. Shoulds like, I should be mature, I should be happy, I should not admit to struggling, I should be able to fit in, I should be fluent in another language or languages, I must be perfect, pretend everything is okay, never complain, be a spiritual superstar at age 8, be okay with being sad all the time, not upset anyone ever, be interesting, make friends with all my supporters, always behave, understand all cultures, and above all, be grateful. Because of the shoulds, because they should be fine, their faith should be enough, they shouldn't heap more stress on already stressed out parents, MKs may not readily admit to having needs and might even hide them in an attempt to appear perfect. You as a church can have a role in addressing this unbearable burden so many MKs carry by allowing your missionary families to be less than perfect. Go figure. By caring for the flawed human as much as we might elevate the exceptional human, that will make you a safe place for MKs to be honest. By showing empathy and grace, and by entering into relationships, not contracts, relationships that allow for do-overs and for redemption. The third reason MKs need educated models of care is this. Many of them are haunted by loss and trauma. And these are losses and trauma that they've experienced during those formative years, so they are embedded in their purple. The number of goodbyes MKs say, as you can imagine, is incalculable. And even those MKs who, like me, stayed in the same place for maybe a decade at a time, we were surrounded by people who were constantly coming and going. It's the rotating doors of the ministry world, right? The official statistic is that the average TCK, third culture kid, experiences 8 major moves by the age of 18. 8 major moves. And you might expect from a red bead, blue bead perspective that there's a clarity to those losses, that they might have lost their house and their friends and their soccer team, for instance. But when you talk with MKs about the intangible and tangible aspects of those losses, the list of what they have said goodbye to is huge. Things like relatives, social networks, favorite things and places, customs, foods, languages that feel like they define them, security, a sense of status, and even lifestyle. When I ask adult MKs how they would define what those losses feel like, what that accumulation of losses feel like, the word they give me usually is universe. This is what it feels like to have major moves when you are a purple person living between worlds. I often ask MKs to depict what it feels like to have lost so much, and I'd love for you to just look at a few renderings of MKs depicting or defining their losses in art form. I don't have time to really go into it in this session, but you need to know that the way MKs make relationships is deeply influenced by the number of losses they've experienced and by the expectation of loss that each new relationship will eventually cause heartache. And I encourage you to look more deeply into that aspect of MKs as well. There are other forms of trauma other than this accumulation of losses that many MKs experience. What is trauma? According to Andy Kolber, a therapist, it is anything that overwhelms our ability to cope. So, MKs who have experienced neglect, isolation, abuse, exposure to conflict, severe illness, evacuations, or these high expectations of everybody around them, they might have experienced those and internalized those as trauma because they overwhelmed their ability to cope. Just this year, TCK Training, under the leadership of Lauren Wells, has done some research into MKs and TCKs and trauma, and it is eye-opening. She used the CDC's ACEs test. ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, and she had a bunch of MKs and TCKs take the test, and anybody who scores 4 and above on a 7-point scale is at higher risk for negative future outcomes. What she found in particular with the MK group is that 1 in 5 of them are prone to negative future outcomes, 20% of MKs. What are negative future outcomes? They are things like risky health behaviors, like addiction or eating disorders, chronic health conditions, physical or mental illness, low life potential, like underachieving in relationships or in careers, and in some cases, early death. And the test these MKs took didn't take into account the toxic stresses that are specific to ministry and specific to growing up as MKs. The good news is, even if they have been exposed to this much damaging material or context or experiences, there is hope, because if we address it early, they don't need to be part of those statistics related to negative future outcomes. I think it's important to point out that 4 out of 5 MKs do not qualify as high risk for negative future outcomes, and we need to celebrate them and their wholeness as they come through the MK experience in their glorious purple. But we also need to be aware that 1 in 5 carry internalized trauma into your churches, and we need to be sensitive to that. I wrote a lengthy article based on Lauren Wells' research back on November 1 that you can find on my website. It's also on my podcast in audio form, the Pondering Purple podcast, which is available everywhere. And finally, 4, why do MKs need specialized attention and care? In part because the church generally doesn't understand the impact of grief on the faith of MKs. A common expectation from churches is that MKs are going to be spiritual superheroes. It's what their family does. God called their family. They've participated in ministry. And at age 8, they should know more about the Bible and about God than their peers do. This is one of the more unbearable shoulds that MKs shoulder. Yes, their faith is often strengthened by growing up in ministry, more often than not, in fact. Participating in God's work along with their family pays such huge dividends, spiritually speaking. Seeing miracles happen, individual lives transformed, and cultural perspectives changed, all of that is wonderful. But sometimes their faith is confused by the harsh demands of ministry. Seeing God as a taskmaster can be a normal thing when we view faith as the family business, as cynical as that might seem. This is particularly true for MKs who have suffered harm while their families were serving. It's true of MKs who have watched people around them, even their parents, burn out in doing ministry, or who have been neglected or overlooked in the name of God and His work. When God becomes an overwhelming job, young, vulnerable faith will suffer. Faith that doesn't have the maturity or grit of adults in ministry or the clarity of red and blue beads, right? And if we're not careful, God can begin to look like this. This is the reality of faith for far too many MKs who have experienced God in toxic, stress-filled environments during their formative purple years. And we, as adults of influence in their lives, need to be aware of that. The church needs to recognize this fact in order to love MKs well, in order to love them sensitively, thoughtfully, and empathically. So now that we've gotten a glimpse into some of the challenges that some MKs experience in the course of growing up in ministry, what can the church do? I want to preface my suggestions by saying that we need to remember that there are amazing, miraculous wonderfuls in the lives of MKs too. I gave a survey a few years ago in which 91% of the adult MKs surveyed said that they wouldn't give it up for the world, or that they had mostly positive recollections of growing up as MKs. So we need to celebrate that and remember that too, even as we delve into some of the darker aspects that are true for some MKs. So I'll give you 3 starting points, and I'll trust you to take it from there and deepen your understanding of what it is that you can do to help this unique people group. Well, it's another day, another setup, a different shirt. And that's because as I was editing this video, I realized that I forgot to include the most important suggestion I have for you in caring well and thoughtfully for your MKs. So if you don't mind, I'm going to insert this here, and then we'll go back to the previously scheduled programming. This is what I wanted to suggest above all else, that you pray for your MKs, and that you pray both protectively and practically. Pray for them by name. Pray protectively first. Pray over their spiritual well-being, that they will see God clearly and accurately and be in an authentic, vulnerable relationship, not job, relationship with Him. Pray over their relational well-being, that their family ties will be strong, that their friendships will be uplifting, and that any isolation or loneliness they might be experiencing right now will not be crippling. And lastly, pray for their emotional and mental well-being, that their parents will be attuned and sense if their children are suffering, that the MKs themselves will feel permitted to express what they need to say, what they're going through or experiencing, and that they will be able to differentiate between the heart of God and the harm of man. Too often those two things get conflated in their minds and in their spirits. So in order to be specific, I encourage you to ask them directly what their prayer matters are that they want you to bring to the throne. Ask their parents what they're seeing in their children right now and what they know the future holds for their children, so you can also be praying proactively. And as well, ask God to guide your own spiritual response as you pray, so you can follow His lead in caring well for MKs. That is the essential piece I forgot to include in the first video and had to add here. And now let's go back to where we were just a couple minutes ago. Number 1, educate yourselves. There are so many materials out there right now about MKs and TCKs, books, articles, podcasts. Do what you need to do to avail yourself of those resources so you can fine-tune what it is that you do for MKs. Number two, offer MKs loving, trusting relationships in a supportive, understanding community. That is so much more than having them perform when they come back on home ministry assignment or say John 3:16 in four languages and 13 different Sunday school classes. What I'm talking about here is asking questions that allow them to tell you about the wonderful in their lives and then staying in conversation with them until they feel comfortable enough with you to talk about the hard stuff too. Consistency of attention over time will allow them to move beyond their natural reservations. And finally, number three, this is practical. We're talking about money here. Help missionary families to cover expenses that are related to their children's well-being. What do I mean by that? Be the ministry partners who offer funds for any counseling or therapy they might need, especially if you know that that family has just been through some kind of a crisis or trauma. Be the people who offer them the help they need. If there's an MK coming back and starting college, be the church that helps to equip them for this unique part of their lives, this chapter of their lives. And finally, and I really can't overstate this, if you have MKs you serve who are coming back from overseas and re-entering their passport culture, I encourage you to be the ones who fund a re-entry retreat for them. Most of the time, the hardest transition of their lives is this one, and these retreats will offer them the debriefing and the equipping they need in order to enter adulthood in a passport culture in a healthier way than they would otherwise. These are just a few places to start, and I am out of time, so I'm going to have to stop there. Please feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions or if you'd like to contribute to this conversation. I would love to engage with you, with your church, with your organization, with missionaries around the world. This is the work I do. This is the work I love, because as we bring more understanding to more people about missionaries' kids in all of their beautiful giftedness and purpleness, we will be able to love them well.
Thank you so much, friends, for taking the time to listen today. My prayer as I send this episode out into the world is that it will reach the right ears, the right hearts, the right strategists, so that the information and the help we offer to MKs becomes more suited to who they are and what their needs might be. For more information on this complex topic, please visit my website, michellephoenix.com, or listen to other episodes right here on the Pondering Purple podcast. Wherever you are today, I want you to know that I celebrate the purple you are, or the purple you love. Thank you for listening.